he has prepared for tonight to be released. So we bless you, Shelley. We are grateful to God for you, for how you have traveled into the depths of darkness and have come out with an authority and an anointing to set the captive free. And we honor that tonight, even in your life. And Father, I thank you for this woman of God. I thank you for your grace and your goodness on her. And we ask that as she opens her mouth, Lord, that you would fill it with what we need for tonight, that you would dig deep into our hearts, that you would expose every lie of darkness that so many of us have believed that we have not understood, and that you, Jesus, above all, would be glorified tonight. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Amen to that. Thank you so much for having me. Such an honor to come here. What is totally cool is I'm getting my doctorate in theology right now, and I took a class called The History of Charismatic Movement Revival, and I had just studied the Toronto Blessing, and then he asked me to come speak there. So I was like, I got an A in that. So when I go back, I told my school I'm going to bring some fire, and then I'll write a little report on it. God knows what he's doing. Thank you so much for allowing a foolish thing to speak. I am a foolish thing, period. Just keep that in mind. It's so not about me. It is all about Jesus Christ, and I call him Yeshua because I'm getting that theology degree, and I love to speak Hebrew, and I love to actually pray and talk to God in Hebrew, because there's a lot of power in that. For those of you who are interested, you should study Hebrew. So, come Yeshua HaMashiach and Ruach HaKodesh and Yahweh, and fill me up to speak your words. I'm going to be talking to you about a serious problem of pornography and its devastating impact on Christians in particular. It's a really difficult task for me to do this. I have been everywhere from MTV to Howard Stern to churches to the government. I have like three wardrobes. You know, God is just doing it all. And, you know, in my journey, what we're facing now is a huge porn pandemic all over the world. My inbox is never without emails from literally men, women, bishops, missionaries, pastors, fathers, priests, confessing to me that they're addicted to pornography. I am the internet pornography police, or the priest. With 40 million Americans being regular visitors to internet porn sites, and the United States is responsible for 420 million pages of porn, we are definitely in an advanced state of cultural depravity. I like what Ruth Graham said about America. She says, if God doesn't judge America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. That's my nation. I live there. And with Iran and Israel and the nukes pointing over here, like, Lord, give us one more chance, Lord. And I feel like I'm one of those mercy vessels that God would bring to people, and to teach you and tell you the truth and to show you his mercy and his grace. And I'm kind of like, when God starts using ex-porn stars to do his bidding for him, you need to listen. Here's some other frightening statistics. That among Christians, 5 out of every 10 men in the church are struggling with pornography. And 54% of pastors admit they viewed porn in the last year. 34% of church-going women admit they have intentionally viewed pornography online. 51% of pastors say internet porn is a possible temptation. 37% of pastors say it's a current struggle. 20% of Christian women and 50% of all Christian men are addicted to pornography. Wow, what is happening to the Church of Jesus Christ? It's one thing it was just my country, but what I'm seeing is all around the world, Christian men in particular, but also women, are being attacked. You know, this is a full-fledged, what I call, last-ditch effort on Satan's part to completely try and take down the Church of Jesus Christ. Something's going on. This is what really saddens me, is that more than 11 million teens regularly view porn online. One day they will grow up to become our leaders. So, and you can already see the fruit. I'm not sure how it is in Canada, but in my nation, in America, you can see the fruit of all these different men, lawmakers, and politics, and they're all following child porn. The Pentagon had 5,200 reports of child porn being viewed at the Pentagon, excuse me. Well, it's because I'm thinking about the devil. I'm going to explain to you why. I want to expose Satan. This is Satanism at its finest. And, you know, and as parents, I also have a message for parents. We say we care about our children, but we don't care enough. We kind of ignore the fact that they're on the internet or maybe they're doing their own thing. And we all just think it's all pretty and nice. But the thing is, you need to communicate with your child. Find out what's really going on, especially in this culture. Every child that is on the internet is probably bumped into porn, or unless they have a really, you know, restricted internet use with a parent. I can't tell you how many 10, 11, 12-year-olds write me emails saying, please help me, Shelley. I masturbate to porn and I'm addicted to pornography. I'm like, well, do you have a principal or a teacher you trust? H-E double chopsticks, no. They don't want to tell anyone. So I go, oh my gosh. How can one woman sit here and listen to all these porn problems all over the earth? How can I not? Whenever I think I can't go on, I just remember the billions of people that are suffering around the world. I have people in Latvia writing me. I didn't even know there was a place called Latvia. And you know, as parents, we ignore our kids. We ignore what's really going on. We don't. It's kind of hard, you know, we don't want to talk about sex and pornography with our teen. We just think, well, maybe the teachers can do it. You can't let that happen. The public schools are so secular now. They're just handing them out condoms and they're not teaching them anything about love and virginity and chastity and all the beautiful things that God has for you. And my parents were that way. My parents were very ignorant and they preferred to put their head in the sand than talk to me about anything. My parents also, we grew up in a home that was a pseudo-Christian home where we literally watched shows about sex, homosexuality, violence against women, racist. I mean, I grew up on television. My mom taught me, or my mom always said, the babysitter's the best teacher. And we literally, I just sat there going, wow, I'm 9 years old. Fonzie's making out that girl, inspiration point. Wow. Everybody thought Fonzie's so innocent. Love Boat's so innocent. What about Jack Tripper or Three's Company and all those things? What about Desperate Housewives? Did you know that in 2005, Desperate Housewives was the number one show among children to be watched on TV? And so the first 8 years of my life, I actually attended Sunday school. I loved Sunday school. I loved Jesus since I was little. I've been called since, you know, before the womb even. And he would actually come and visit me and talk to me at 6 years old and go, someday you're going to preach the gospel to thousands of people. And I would be like, Joseph, you know, tell my dreams. Everybody's like, who's going to want you to speak? You know, but I always carried them. You know, they were precious to me. And in fact, the only time I was happy was when I was in Sunday school. The teacher was playing her ukulele and we're listening to songs. I'm like, oh, I love Jesus. Just so happy. And I go home and there's no love of Christ in my home. Instead, my mom nagged me. She belittled me. She was verbally abusive. My dad, he was a nice guy, but he was unavailable, workaholic. And then after everybody worked, we went to the TV. So I don't remember anyone ever really hugging me or saying, I love you. It was just kind of assumed. And after 8 years, my parents actually moved away from my church home. And we never found another church again. And I was very mad little girl. You know, my church home was everything to me. It was my family. It was a place Jesus would talk with me. So when we moved, my parents got too involved in their business. And they said, we can just watch Christian television online or, you know, at home. And then not long after that, the devil planned an attack on my life. Because I was left to myself a lot when I was little. I could just go here, I could go there, whatever. Nobody really cared what I did. I just came home to eat and then I was out again. And not even in school, my grades were pretty poor and nobody really cared as long as, you know, I get by. Neither of my parents has a college education, so that could be a reason why they didn't care a lot about education. And so at 9 years old, I was staying at a classmate's house. And her older brother and her molested me. It was the first time I had experienced a heterosexual and a homosexual experience at 9 years old. And I was devastated and in shock. There was no one to go run home to tell what had happened. Right there, immediately, I could feel the devil just say, you're a bad, dirty girl. So you're violated, you feel ugly. And shortly after that, I began masturbating and I didn't even really know what I was doing. Just something satanic had entered, something traumatic. Demons often come in through trauma. For me, that was a very traumatic moment. And I begin to act out with boys because, you know, I wasn't getting the attention I needed at home. I so much wanted my father just to say, I love you, spend time with me. And so I would do shocking things to get their attention because, you know, I just wanted attention so bad. I would do stuff like pretend I was dead on the street and put ketchup all over me. Cars would stop by and I'd be like, they're like, oh my gosh. I go, just kidding. You know, I was a really animated little girl. You know, I was just, they called me Shell Shock for short because I was shocking. I'm still shocking people to this day. It actually turned out to be a gift. Who knew? But when you're little, you know, I'm just trying to get that attention. As I got older, you know, Madonna became my new mother. I grew up when Madonna had just become hot. And I was like, unlike a virgin with all the boys after her. She was my role model. I was allowed to listen to all those kinds of music. I was allowed to go to nightclubs at 16 years old and drive my car and bring my boyfriend there. And I smoked dope. I mean, my parents even could see as I got older, became very rebellious, very, very hardened. My mom would come in and try and hit me with a spoon while I was watching TV. I'd grab an air, break it, and hand it back to her. I was the teenager from hell. By then, I wasn't going to listen to anything they had to say. You ignored me too long, and now I will do what I want to do, because I am the boss. And so I became very rebellious. I superglued my entire high school. I was a hero for a week. Vandalizing, stealing. I got caught for stealing, because I felt like my parents didn't hardly buy us any clothes. We weren't really rich, but we lived in a rich neighborhood, so I'd go steal all the clothes, so at least I could go to school and have some clothes to wear. And by the time I was 16, I was drinking, smoking pot. My parents found the bottles in my bedroom, and, you know, we just put that away, you know. And so, you know, then I got, you know, literally every day of my high school days, every day, I was only yelling and fighting between me and my mom for 4 years. All we did was yell and fight every day. And my mom would scream, and she would start crying when my dad came home. So then I would get in even more trouble because she's manipulating him with her tears. She's so horrible to me, horrible. I'd be like, oh, you know. So it was just unfair. I was mad. I couldn't understand. I didn't like God anymore. I still loved Jesus, but I didn't like his father because my father was distant. And kids, they see God through their parents when they're growing up. My God was distant. He was harsh and religious. My mom would say, you know, you're going to go to hell for that. You got to read the Bible. Don't put anything on top of the Bible. That's sin. This is a sin. Smoking's a sin. Oh, those Catholics are going to hell too. I'm like, my grandmother's Catholic. Who, she was actually really nice and loving. So I used to always think in my head, I go, why would you ever get it? You know, this. And so by the time I was 18, just out of the blue, I barely graduated high school, literally with C's, D's, and F's. I have the transcripts to prove it. I just wrote my book last year, and I actually had to go through all of it and went, how did I ever graduate from high school? What kind of education facility is this? And so one day out of the blue, my dad says, get out. I said, what do you mean, get out? He goes, get out. You're not going to live here anymore. I'm like, what do you mean I'm not going to live here anymore? Get out. Just something, all the rage, you just snap, and you're just, you know, it just severs. They just cut off my identity. And all he took with me was a Bible and bag of clothes. And I just walked out the door, and my dad says, you're dead to me. And I swore to God I would never, ever talk to those people again. And I ended up on a curb in the San Fernando Valley, the porn capital of the world, with no money. No driver's license because I had been rebellious and my license got suspended. I didn't even have ID to get a job. I didn't have food. First time in my life, I'm sitting there homeless. Just like, you're in shock. You can't believe it. Your whole life, you've been raised this way and they've ignored you. And then they just go and kick you out and they don't take any responsibility. I mean, you know, I think we went to counseling together as a family one time. So I was full of rage, and I thought about how I was cold on that curb, sleeping there, and they were in their nice, warm beds. And more, the devil kept planting seeds of rage, rejection, bitterness, hatred, getting ready to fuel me for my career. And a nice man came up to me and saw me crying. I was just a wreck. And he just says, oh, my gosh, and just put his arm around me. Oh my gosh, that's the first time an older man had ever held me that close with that kind of affection. I just started weeping bitterly. And then after he let me cry for a little while, he said, "Hey honey, I know I can get you some money." I go, "What?" My first thought was, Jesus had come to save me. Jesus has come to save me. Oh my gosh. And the man says, "Actually, there's a man across the street who thinks you're pretty and he'd like to have sex with you for $35. I'm like, "I'm not a prostitute." But then the devil came to me and said, "Your parents don't care. God doesn't care." I go, "Yeah, why should I care?" And I sold myself for $35. And I began a life of prostitution. At 18 years old, almost overnight, I went from a middle-class American kid to a teenage prostitute. Literally, overnight. And he was, at first, you know, they lure you in by kind of grooming you, and they're, "Oh, you're so pretty," you know, all the things you want your father to say to you. The pimp became my new father. Satan always has replacements for you parents that don't pay attention to your kids. He's got plenty of parents out there who would love to raise your child. Pimps, madams, music, you know, Lady Gaga. Do you know that Lady Gaga is the offspring of Madonna? Mm-hmm. Madonna has many children. In fact, Madonna has more kids, more children in the porn industry than anywhere. You know, a lot of us, you know, that's how we got started, was Madonna was rebellious and we wanted the same sick admiration that she got from men and boys. We wanted that too. Most of us in the sex industry are little girls who did not get the love and attention from their parents, in particular their father. I was heartbroken. My dad was my hero, but my hero had no time for me. And now my hero kicked me out on the street. My hero didn't protect me. And so I began to work for the pimp, and he became very abusive. I physically had to bust out of his arms because he tried to lock me in his apartment. And I ended up back on the street again. By then, I'm so shocked. I can't even believe what's happening. It just was such a blur to me. And I find myself walking into mechanic shops offering sex jobs for $50. Just sitting here just to get food. And at one point, a man had bled on me, and it frightened me terribly. And I cried out to God, "God, please, if you're real, I know, Jesus, where are you? You know, where were you? In Sunday school, you told me I was going to preach the gospel to thousands of people. You told me that you had a special call in my life. Where are you?" No answer. Then all of a sudden, a madam came and saw me on the street, rescued me off the street, and says, "You come work for me, honey. I'll teach you the glamorous side of prostitution. How to manipulate men and get every last dollar. How to tell men everything they ever want to tell them." At 18 years old, I was already a little mafia princess, literally conning 67-year-old men out of all their money. We were taught how to barter for a whole hour so we didn't have to have the actual sex, and then when they wanted the sex, they had to pay up another hour. We were taught how to get things like jewelry. We would go up and down Ventura Boulevard and get all this jewelry, clothes, furniture, anything we wanted, we borrowed for sex. It's all over Southern California. And I hated that life. The first 14 months I was a prostitute, I got pregnant twice. Even though we were trained to use protection, let me tell you, those men are vicious, and a lot of times they won't use it. And so my first baby, I had a miscarriage. And it was really, not only was it physically painful, it was just emotionally painful. It was just so much to handle, 18 years old. More and more, I became bitter against God. He's not a good father. And I knew I still loved Jesus, but I just didn't understand why he was so quiet. And so the second baby, though, I kept my baby because I definitely had a value I learned from Sunday school. I would never kill a life. I could never kill my baby's life. So here I am, pathetic, pregnant out to here. I don't want to do prostitution anymore, so I go to downtown Los Angeles to go strip. I have to steal an ID so I can strip, so I don't have to do prostitution, so I can support me and my baby. And I actually went inside this bar, and it was all Mexicans. I didn't speak any Spanish, but I learned Spanish real fast. "Dinero, por favor, más, más dinero. ¿Qué quieres, mi amorcito?" Yeah, I learned Spanish real well. And so I ended up keeping my baby. I had my baby, and all of a sudden now I'm this single mother trying to raise this child. And myself, I'm still a child. And nobody was there for me. My mom didn't even really like to come and visit me because I lived in a Mexican area and she was worried about her car. And so I worked my rear end off, literally, stripping. And then the strip clubs are just as horrible as prostitution because right there, they're just grabbing you. They're calling you every name. They're telling you your thighs are too big. Your face is too ugly. Your nose is too small. You should fix this. You should fix this. And all I learned from men, which most of them were married who came in those clubs, is that they could never, ever be trusted, and I could never measure up to what they wanted. I always felt unworthy my entire life, from the sexual abuse to the message my parents sent me to these men, and I felt utterly unlovable, unworthy, and unforgivable. God must think I am so dirty, and that's why he doesn't talk to me. I'm beyond repair. Maybe I felt like I committed the original sin, you know? But you know what? Jesus knows I prayed every day I was in the sex industry. A lot of people don't know how many prostitutes pray every day. Yeah, we might put on a good act and tell you we love it, la, 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 and then you go in your room and drink your Jack Daniels, and you're like, God, get me out of this. If you get me out of this, I swear I'll serve you my whole life. How many times did I pray that prayer? No answer. No answer. My daughter was getting older. I couldn't take care of her. I was a horrible mother to her. I left her with babysitters, and I would be trying to dance for us. And then one time, I actually got sex trafficked into Mexico. Yeah, in Los Angeles, they'll promise you any amount of money to get you to go to another country. And they told me, yeah, Loera, you come here to the beach. You know, I give you like $2,000. And I'm like, wow, that's good money to dance for a couple of weeks. Yeah, you know, and I was sick of it. You get so sick of the Los Angeles scene and all the vicious cycle. It's always a cycle. And so I actually flew to Guadalajara. And as soon as I got there, I was taken to a commune where ladies, young girls, are behind glass sliding doors, quiet, and maybe wiping a tear. I'm like, what is this crazy place? And that was tough. I was tough. And I was like, this is a bad deal. And I went into my room. God told me, I felt a voice. He says, cool it, because my hands were turned to fists and I wanted to fight. And the girl says, don't you know where you are? You're in a Mexican brothel. You'll never get out of here. I've been here for years. I was like, oh my gosh. I was never going to see my daughter again. I couldn't believe just the constant attack on my life, satanic attack on my life on a daily basis. But I escaped. Yeah, it was crazy. They brought me to a club and they were raping women. You could hear them screaming. I was like, oh, okay, bad deal. I tried to go in the bathroom, no place to get out. I couldn't escape there. I'm like looking at the door going, you know, what can I, you know? And it was just by the power of the Holy Spirit, I just spoke and I said, I'm in fuego, arriba, fuego. There's a fire up there. And they're like, what? And the armed guard at the door, armed guards, runs to the fire. I run out, grab a taxi and pay any American money he wants. Then I have to break back into the commune, fight the guy at the door because everything was locked down, grab my stuff, and then I had to pay the taxi money and get to the Guadalajara airport and sit right by the embassy like this, just right by the, I'm like, terrible. These girls, I sometimes wonder where they're at. God's always, you know, I didn't think he answered me. But I'm telling you, there's more divine intervention in my life than anyone I know. One time when I was a prostitute, I went to turn a trick down in a motel in downtown LA, bad area. And a voice just, stop. I'm like, oof, what is that? And this guy runs out with a knife. He had just stabbed a prostitute. And I turned around and the sign said, Jesus saves. I got a lot of divine intervention. Or when I'm driving drunk out of my mind, how many times? I was going to crash the car and angels took my steering wheel. And then I'm like, you know, I didn't understand what was going on. If clearly, something was protecting me. There was a presence. There was some kind of protection around me. But nobody was explaining anything to me. And after about 6 years of this crazy lifestyle of drugs and alcohol and stripping and prostitution, and you keep saying you're going to quit, but then it's a vicious cycle. You can't. It's so hard for these girls to get out. You're stuck there. The money's there. You've already, you know, nobody wants you. You're utter and lovable. You might as well just get paid for it. You know, you're a slave. And after 6 years, I was in a strip bar. And it was really crazy because I went to that strip bar and I was 17 and I ended up back there at 24. And I'm just like, history repeats itself. It is a vicious cycle. I used to say the song Hotel California was my life song. You can check out whenever you want, but you can never leave. That is what the sex industry is. And so a porn star came in and saw me dance. And she says, hey, you'd be really hot. You should think about doing porn. I go, porn? You know, I didn't understand she was actually in there to recruit me. That's actually a form of sex trafficking, to recruit women for the purposes of a commercial sex act. A lot of people don't know that. But I was so burned out, I said, yeah, whatever, I'll just do it. And she says, $2,000 a movie? And I'm like, are they safe? Of course, everyone is safe. We're the cleanest people in the world. We get tested every 30 days for HIV. So I go, all right. But every single day, I lived in fear for my life. I knew I was this close to getting AIDS, and I was that close. And, you know, I got, when I first started doing this industry, my first scene, I was so nervous. I was drinking Jack Daniels and snorting meth, going, oh my gosh, and I, And as soon as the camera started rolling, Satan himself came to me and says, Shelley, I'll make you famous, and everyone will love you now. And he literally, he empowered me to do supernatural things I could never do otherwise. These people in porn are empowered by Satan himself. In fact, I discovered something. The devil's tarot card. This is a picture of the devil's tarot card. It's a picture of the devil sitting on a throne, chained two naked people. A naked woman, naked man. It's not Adam and Eve. This is his throne, is the porn industry. That is his throne. In fact, I also like to tell people, you know, let me just tell you some of the satanic-inspired porn companies. Diabolical Video, Digital Sin, Dirty Angel Productions, Devil's Films, Devil's Door Productions, Burning Angel, Black Magic Pictures, Armageddon, Forbidden Fallen Angel. He's blatant about it. The devil is blatant. In fact, there's this new genre out now called blasphemy pornography. They literally take God's word, tearing out the papers and doing stuff to their body with it. Very famous porn stars are doing this. I'm telling you, they're literally having sex with crucifixes. I'm shocked. I've got to help these kind of women get deliverance. Once you do something like that, already it's bad enough. I'm telling you this, the porn industry is very satanic. They just show you the glamorous side, but behind it, it's all Satanism. You can see Satanism anywhere, the occult, Ouija board. I got into the Ouija board. My hand would be moving like this. I'd be, who's that? Who's my spirit guide? Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus is here to be with me. By then, I was way out of my mind and using drugs and alcohol and whatever. And I would actually be able to make things move with the power of the devil. My daughter, I went like this from across the room because I was all in the new age and she just fell and flipped. I was able to like make the phone ring. I had all these powers. I was able to like be a psychic. I could get numbers, all kinds of things. Little did I know I had a prophetic gifting and Satan was using it for something else. So I would just be out of my mind, always drunk. So many times tried to commit suicide. Both of my wrists have scars. It's kind of weird. I'm like the Lord because I have scar on my ankle too. So I'm like, little stigma out of there. Well, fighting porn, I definitely feel like I'm on the cross these days. Anybody who would take on this, knowing all this, I mean, it's one thing to help someone, but to go back and relive. But, you know, I made a promise to God all those times I was drunk. I swear to God, if you'll just save me, I'll serve you my whole life. I'll do anything. Promising, please, save me. All of a sudden, out of the blue, I met this really innocent, like what I call my apple pie guy. I met him at a bar. He didn't seem like he should be in the bar. He was just there because a friend was playing. And I was just there, like, trying to do a deal. I would just walk into bars and see if I'd get a guy to do a deal with me for money. And I hated my life. And I had done porn about 30 movies, and immediately they got much harder and grosser and terrible porn. In fact, they're always manipulating and you know, it's all sex trafficking. They're coercing you, using fraudulent means, you know, baby, in order for you to stay in this business, you're going to have to do this, you're going to have to do this. No, you got to do this. And then we show up on the set, and it's usually like one or two young girls and about 10 older males. The camera crew is males, the producers are males, the performers are males. We had no advocate. What do you do when they threaten you? Hey, you need to do this, or you're never going to work again. You're going to be blacklisted. I'm going to sue you. So everything was about threatening us, forcing us. And even though I put on, huh, yeah, baby, I love it. Yeah, hey, yeah, I love sex. See how easy that is? They all can do that. We're trained SEALs. They work with you every single day. They're getting you to do harder and grosser stuff. They're giving you the drugs and alcohol. In fact, I know the names of two doctors in the Valley that actually are in conspiracy with the porn industry in California, and they give the girls anything they want. Norcos, Vicodin, Prozac, Xanax. Everybody's on prescription drugs in that industry. And everybody's on alcohol and drugs, and they smoke marijuana like cigarettes. They're not even ashamed. They just walk around and smoke it all the time, even at conventions. Young girls, remember, most of these movies are filmed in a private location, private mansion. This is a completely illegal industry. Nothing they do is legal. In fact, in the state of California is the only state in the United States it's legal to produce porn, although New Hampshire is starting to think about it too. In all 48 other states, it's prostitution, pandering. So if they film in Florida, they're pandering. It's not porn. It's only legal in California. And it's only legal by case law. It's not legal by legislation. If we could get enough people together, we could definitely reverse that appeal, and it would not be legal in the United States anymore. Well, as I sat in that bar, this nice guy says, "You want to play pool?" I go, for drinks. I was so black-hearted then. Hated men. Women in the sex industry hate men. With a passion. Because they're the ones using us, abusing us, telling us all the things wrong with us, making demands. While their little wedding rings reflected off the stripper lights, I'd be dancing, and I'd go, they can never be trusted. And what's kind of interesting to note, 50% of Christian men are viewing pornography, then that sends me a message too. Anyways, I met this nice guy, and he wanted to go out with me, and I kept saying, no, I don't go. I don't date. Cash only. What part of that don't you understand? So he goes, well, I need a stripper for a bachelor party. I go, right, you're like 22 years old. What, you live with your parents or something? You know, he's like, really, not my type. Well, no man was my type. But he was really nice, and he kept talking to me, these big eyes. He talked to my face, and I thought, well, that's weird. That normally they talk to my body parts. That's different. So my husband, or the guy I met, he said, hey, let's go out. And finally, it was weird. One Friday night, I go, well, what the heck? He says, I got drinks and meth. I go, you have meth? Porn stars love drug dealers. Why didn't you say so? We could have gone out before. And sure enough, we went out, and it was really weird. We started to become friends. And I remember he came in back into my apartment. We were getting high on meth one night. I'm like, dude, you see what Joshua did in the Bible? No way, like Moses in the Red Sea, like Joshua did like all those conquests. And then I would be like, what's wrong with this? The demons in me be like, get rid of him. You can't be reading the Bible snorting meth to this guy. And it turned out he's a pastor's son. I'm in my apartment going, I'm a porn star with a pastor's son. No, really, you know what? I gotta go now. And he's like, Shelly, God wants me to ask you what happened to you. And I'm like, oh no, my black heart, it's so black. You don't even want to go there because it's going to explode all over you for like years. It was that bad. I knew it was, I could feel, he literally was making me have almost like a heart attack because I was not used to love. So I started sharing my story a little bit, and he goes, Shelly, that's terrible. And he takes my hand, I'm so sorry. And I go, ew, what's this? That's love. I don't know what love is. I've never known love my whole life. Maybe when I was a little girl, my grandparents, but it frightened me. I mean, we do not want that. We will run the other way. I'd rather go run back to the sex industry than feel that feeling. And so he kept coming by, and he would show up, and I'd be half drunk and answer the door yelling at him because he didn't call. And he has a box of rags. He says, Shelly, I just want to clean your house. It's real dirty. I'm like, and it was like the Holy Spirit just walked in my house. I couldn't even do anything. Jesus himself just walked in my house, and he starts cleaning my house. I'm with the cigarette going, this is scary. This is scary. I don't know what to do. You know, God, like, remember all those times you prayed? I go, oh, no, I didn't mean this. I'm too dirty. I'm too black. And after I did 30 movies in the porn, and I got burned, and I got two sexually transmitted diseases. One was non-curable herpes, and the other was HPV, which later I got cervical cancer from. So he was like, no, Shelly, God says I'm supposed to marry you, and I'm supposed to rescue you. And I'm like, no way. I am not marriage material. I have herpes. I have a kid. You don't want me. I'm really gross. I'm terrible. I don't kiss. I don't kiss men on the face. But little by little, this guy just, Shelly, no, every day he showed up. God says I'm supposed to marry you. And then a really weird thing happened. And I can tell your church, because like you guys, you know, you're cool about that. If I tell other churches, they're like, that's weird. I've had some divine manifestations in my life. And what happened was, when I was a little girl, 9 years old, I actually was in the play Pilgrim's Progress, and I played the part of Faithful. And we had to learn the song, Z-Y-X-W-V-U-T-S-R-Q-P. Have you guys ever heard that? Well, it's really cute. And I was like, because I was so animated, you know. So anyways, it stuck with me, and God told me when I was 9 that the man who could say the alphabet backwards as fast as me would be my husband. And I kept that. God talked to me a lot when I was little. So me and Gary are sitting in the room, and he's like, no, Shelly, God's supposed to marry you. And so I smugly went, actually, you'd have to be able to say the Z-Y-X as fast as I can. Z-O-X-W-V-U-T-S-R-Q-P-L-K-G-L-R-C-B-A. I've used that to get out of drunk driving several times. I know how to impress the cops. They're like, you want a drink? I'm like, sure. Yeah, I know. I'm so naughty using all of God's holy things. Like, and so my husband just looked at me and goes, really? I go, yeah, I was in Pilgrim's Progress, and I was a little girl, and I played Faithful. And then I started talking about God. La, la, and you see like this light. And all of a sudden he goes, Z-Y-X-W-V-U-T-S-R-Q-P-O-M-O-K-J-O-C-B-A. And I went, get out of my house. Get out. Literally, get out. No, I knew there's no way that could happen. But I was so black and so demonized, literally, I was so demonized that I the demons were like, they were all, everybody was freaking out. I'm like, ah! And I was like, I had legions. I'm telling you, I had legions. You know, I had sex with hundreds of men. You know how many soul ties I had? I was so sick. I had all their demons on top of my demons. And so Valentine's Day came, and I walked downstairs like a torn dress, pitiful. I said, okay, I'll marry you. If you want to marry a girl with herpes and a kid, fine. He goes, God's good with us, Shelly. Just have faith. I'm like, we're on drugs, and you want me to marry you and have faith, and you can barely even keep a job. Like, it was just, and so I walked to that, right, because neither of his parents were definitely not happy about it, to say the least. My husband is a Dutchman. He's a Dutch. Big, big family. I couldn't even get near him. I start to like have panic attack because they're so big, and they're like, all the women are perfect. They all have rags in their hands. And I'm like, I'm here with this like mini skirt and like stupid socks and heels and like big hair. Hi. I'm going to marry your son. And she goes, stop thinking with your bleep to him. Mom, I love her. God told me to marry her. She goes, pfft. She was like, yeah, 6 months. And I'm like, that made me mad. Oh, really? You know? So anyways, on Valentine's Day, we had to go to the city court because nobody wanted to marry us. I still haven't been married in a church yet. I need to do that. I just preach. I haven't been married in a church yet. So I just walk up, and I remember I had this ugly little black, I had no nice dresses. And I thought, well, maybe this one's halfway decent. It had a couple holes, but it was, you know, trying to cover the knees a little bit. It's my wedding day. Every girl's a little nightmare. So it's like a black dress. I'm black-hearted. I hate this. I'm mad at God. I just can't believe this. I tried to commit suicide. That didn't work. God would not let me die. No, really. I have been in terrible situations. I have overdosed on so many prescription pills to wake up the next day with a stomach pump and feel like I've seen a bunch of hallucinations. I go, God, why am I still here? Yeah, I can't die. I bet I've overdosed 50 times. And I bet I've been drunk driving like 1,000 in a convertible with no top on. Me and the car. I was crazy. It was wild. I was out of my mind. I was so sick. So when this guy took me up, I was black carded. I walk up to the front and I go to the person because I was just kind of in charge. I said, I'll take care of it. I'm the boss, remember? And he's like, okay, really sweet. Okay. He bugged me. Like, you're just like feminine or something. Or you're just, are you gay? He used to tell me, are you gay? No, I just love you. And I'm like, if you ask him today why he married me, he goes, I don't know. He doesn't know. That's a divine manifestation and that's weird. I walk up right to the lady and I go, how much is it going to cost? She goes, $35, please. I go, oh, and God said, $35 to get in the industry and $35 to get out. Wow. And then I was really listening to God. I go, yeah, you know. And then my demons are like, no, no, don't go. Like, it was all really white. And I was like, oh, it's so light out. I was a vampire. I had always dark candles and dark. My husband, when we first got married, he'd rip it open. I go, what are you doing? I'm a vampire. I actually was into vampires. And I mean, I got really weird with the occult and stuff. And so it took a few years to get compatible, many years. But, you know, I married that guy. And soon after, he had to join the military because he couldn't keep a job. A lot of drug addicts are in the military. And so we ended up in Washington State, where it rains 300 days a year, the suicide capital of the world. This is where you want to bring me for my deliverance? How could anyone get delivered here? It's absolutely horrific. And God's like, you're like a sunny California girl. I need to get you out of that environment. So I was not used to all this rain. I was just in a bad mood all day long. And I was starting to have, you know, when a woman is in especially severe sex trafficking like I was, when she's taken out in a new environment, all that trauma comes up. The defense mechanisms aren't there. This is very real. I was like, I couldn't breathe. I was convulsing. I'm like, it was probably the demons in me deciding if they were going to stay or not. Flashbacks, nightmares. I had everything that a Vietnam vet would have. For years, I have been so sick psychologically, emotionally, physically. So here I'm thinking, all right, God, this is your big rescue in Washington State. Now what? And God says, how'd you like to get healed? He just said that to me. I go, well, yeah, I'd like to get healed. What do I got to do? I'm married to that idiot over there. I'm in stupid Seattle. And he's like, you should go to church. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I don't know if that's going to work out. I have a big P on my, you know, but I had gotten pregnant almost right away with my husband's baby, so I had gained all this weight, and there's no way they're going to recognize me. I'm wearing thrift shop clothes. Overnight, I went to the School of Humility. I'm just used to, like, I tell my husband, where's the shrimp? I eat seafood. He goes, we can't eat seafood. We're a military family. We have to eat ground beef and, like, chuck steak. I go, ew, no. Where's the seafood? My husband's like, Shelly, we can't buy that food. So literally, I'm sitting there making meatloaf in thrift shop clothes that I got half price on Tuesdays at Salvation Army. And I'm like, wow. And then we went to this church. Right when I walked in, all the people are shining happy. All things are possible. They're like, oh, so terrible for me. They really should have a reception place for people like me to come and then, instead of the culture shock, because it was culture shock. And I just like sat down and went, okay, where's the exit? Exit's over there, exit over there. Pregnant out of here. And God knew I was ready to exit that place. And I was on my way to escape. You know me, the great escape artist. All of a sudden the pastor gets up and goes, success begins on Sunday. And I'm like, wow, I'm definitely out of here. And then all of a sudden he goes, today we're going to talk about proving your potential. There's 9 tests to prove your potential. And he goes, how's your motivation test? And I go, well, I just want what I want. Are you offended? No, I'm not offended. I flunked every test. The credibility test? No, I'm a con artist. I flunked every test he was talking about. I was so discouraged. I was like, oh my gosh, that's totally me. It's just God is a truth encounter. And all of a sudden, this guy looks at me, pauses, and then points and goes, "Do you know that there's a champion inside of you?" I went, I started wailing my face off. The little girl in me was like, "Oh, let me out. I'm so tired of being here. So tired of being here. I want to get out. I am a champion. This isn't what you're made for, Shelly. This is what you're made for. Who cares what all those people said? Who cares your parents said? This guy's telling me I'm a champion. I'm going to sit here every time this door's open. I'm going to find out how that is." And I did. Like a little girl. Just like a little girl. I walked in there pregnant. Sometimes hungover. If God can forgive me, He can forgive anybody. He knows I'd show up the next day. My husband would be really mad because I drank. You know, in the military, all these drinking. There's all these men. I'm like, man, my grandma was 9. Look at all those men. God's like, no. Like, I like. And then all the alcohol and the men. What kind of, on a military base with a bunch of men who are like, well, just sleep around. I mean, I'm addicted to sex and porn and all those things. Just, what kind of, you know, sometimes the way God wants you to recover isn't the way you would think, or even the way your pastor or someone would think. Sometimes He does divine, crazy things. I'm not saying not to listen to your pastor, of course. Listen to your pastor. I'm just saying, you know. So I just kept going back there, and I kept every Wednesday and Sunday, I would come up with a stroller. My husband would be in the field, and I'd be like, I need prayer again. My stomach out here. I need prayer again. I'm like, what do you need prayer for? And I go, for my husband. He's not a good husband. I actually used to come up, and I would bring him when he was with me, and I'd be cursing in church, jerky, for, you know, just cursing and everything right in church. And then they go, okay, we're praying for marriages. And my husband would be, come on, Shell. I'm like, no, not me. I'm not the problem. It's all your fault. It's your fault I live here. It's your fault I'm having a horrible life right now. It's your fault I'm having all these manifestations and all this trauma come up. It's all your fault. So I go up there, and he was so humble. And he goes, could you pray for us, please? And I was like, oh, well, after a while, though, God began to change my heart. You know, and literally, my husband was the Kleenex box man because I cried for 3 years straight. I wept. I literally wept just to show you how good God is. He brought me all the way to the Pacific Ocean and let me stand there and weep in the ocean. And the ocean would take away all the tears, all the pain. I'd be weeping, weeping. Sometimes He'd leave me there for an hour. He knew not to even come near. This was between me and God, and He needed to explain to me where He was. I needed Him to tell me. He says, Shelly, do me a favor. Don't ask why yet. You're not mature enough in your thinking to understand my reasons, but someday it's going to make a lot of sense why I left you out there for 8 years to suffer, and why I was sexually abused, and why my parents were cruel to me. And God says, you just follow me. And you know what, Shelly, just pour in the word. I want you to start reading the word. I want you to pour it in. Because when you pour that truth in, it pushes out the lies automatically. I was not the kind of addict that could just go, I think I'll just quit now. I couldn't do it. So I'd have a drink in one hand, reading the Bible in the other, or a cigarette. I'd be like, okay, I can do all things of Christ who strengthened me, and I'm pressed toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ and conform your mind, you know, Romans 12:2, and I was like learning all these different scriptures, and I'll resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Get out of here, nasty devil. I'd be so mad at him. Get out of here. Because I didn't know how to do spiritual warfare back then. But I knew I just kept pouring in the word, and then automatically, almost right away that I joined the church, they made me work in the nursery. It was mandatory, this church. I'm like, do you do background checks? And I told the lady, I don't think I'm good enough to work in the nursery because I used to be a lady of the night. I didn't want to tell them everything. She goes, oh, really? I used to be a stripper. I'm like, God save strippers? I'm not the only person in this church. You never know who's in church. You never know. I'm like, I see you. I'm my prophetic gifting. I'm like, no. No, I won't tell. Don't worry. I'm confidential. And so, you know, I walked in there, and I'm sitting there. My first job for God serving Him was literally changing poopy diapers. Pump, pump, ping, pump, pump. That's all I did, was I changed poopy diapers. It's so God, the humility that I have been through in my life. And I still change poopy diapers. It's in the porn industry now. Oh my gosh, another poop diaper. When am I going to stop working with poop? And so, you know, I began to grow. I began to, you know, they saw that I had potential to be a leader and that I was a great recruiter. Because, you know, God uses all gifts. I was always recruiting girls into the sex industry. So now I'm recruiting the parents to serve. Come on, be there for little Johnny. He loves when you're there. Yeah, you can do this. You can bring orange juice and cookies and donuts. Come on. You know, so all the parents would come. And it turned out I had, like, the biggest children's nursery. And I was like, wow, not bad. Not, you know. Not bad for somebody who doesn't want to tell the pastor all her junk. And, you know, I began to raise babies, and I struggled. It took me about 6 years to stabilize. The first 6 years, it was just a terrible fight with the devil. You know, there was at this particular church, it was a church that taught wisdom. That was its focus. And there was prayer. There really wasn't, like, going into that deeper soaking and, you know, deliverance, things that I really needed. God delivered me a little bit more gently, and probably because I was so traumatized. But after pouring in the word, God began to do miracles in my life. And this is one big one. This is one of my favorite ones. I go, you know, when you're pregnant in the military, it's the first time I ever had medical insurance. I never really went to a doctor. I met with Tiffany. I went to some cheap guy. But, you know, I never really had, like, someone care about me. I have to go every week. So I show up in the medical clinic, and they're like, do you have any STDs? I go, yeah, why? Why is that important? They're like, well, we might have to have a cesarean if you get infected. Oh, my gosh. I felt like the biggest piece of crap. I said, oh, my gosh, my past is never going to leave me. The devil's like, the past is never going to leave you. I'm like, get out of here in Jesus' name, you know? And so next time I went, the lady goes, would you like to be in a study for women with herpes who are pregnant for the military? I go, well, sure, why not? What do I get? I always want to get something. Some free ultrasounds. I go, all right. So anyways, they take my blood and test me, and I come back. They call me and said, you need to come down here. I'm thinking, what's wrong with my baby? And I show up, and the lady looks at me and goes, you cannot be in the United States Army military test because you do not have the herpes virus. I said, what? And God spoke to me. He goes, I just threw that in extra for following me. Just for a little girl like me following him. I didn't even have any of the champion principles done. I was a little baby learning how to walk, going, renew your mind. Okay, I don't forgive my parents. God's like, well, you have to forgive them or I can't forgive you. And I'm like, no, not forgiving. You're going to have to forgive me anyways. I couldn't do that. That one took a long time to do. But God began just to bless me. I really didn't do much. And God totally healed me of herpes. I've been married 18 years. I've never had a herpes outbreak since. And this right when he healed me, a little bit later, having another baby, they found out I have cervical cancer. And I had to have half of my cervix removed. So it's like you have these victories and then you see these failures. And you're just like, you know, and you just don't give up. One thing I learned is God says, don't give up, Shelly, I got something. Don't give up. Don't give up. I'm going to heal you all the way. Don't give up. When you fall back down, you need to stand back up. Don't give up. Don't give up. What does my word say? You have an advocate. I'm an advocate. I am your defender in heaven. 1 John 2:1 says, little children, I write this to you. If you do sin, you have an advocate. So I'd be like, I just talk to my advocate a lot. And I still do. Let's get that clear. So after 8 years of totally going to this church and just giving it my all, I walked out of that place completely healed from everything. Everything. I forgave men. I had absolutely no effects at all from the sex industry. I was not the same person. I didn't even walk the same. I had different mannerisms. I was talking more like this and listening to people. I was getting an education. I started to go to Bible school because the word worked so good for me. I'm like, I want to go get a degree in that. God has blessed me. Then, when we left the military, God blessed my husband. Military is like such a low pay, like $14,000 a year. And he blessed him like 10 times the amount when we got out. And I'm like this, what the heck is God? What? There was a season where God overwhelmed me with his glory. Just overwhelmed me. It's like, that's it. It was pure bliss for 3 years of my life. I had pure bliss. Romance with my husband. All of a sudden, I'm like, boy, you're looking good now. You look real good. I would have given the man 15 babies. I mean, I was just so in love. I breastfed my kids. I was this mom. I was like, a kids are in Christian school. You know, and after 3 years of this perfect world, God woke me up with a dream and told me I was supposed to put my story on a website. I said, no way. But when Holy Spirit wakes you up at 3:30 a.m. and he empowers you to like make the website, it's already made, and you're like, no way, I'm not telling anybody what I used to do. I have a perfect life. My kids are all in Christian school. I am the field trip mom. I'm the cupcake queen. Betty Crocker, I have every KitchenAid appliance, all in red, little apples. I have the perfect, I look like a Dutch woman. His mother mentored me a lot. It was perfect. But then I put the website up, and I thought, because during my recovery, in order to stay sober, I was actually taking web design lessons in the background. God definitely had a plan. I was just trying to learn web design. So when he told me to put my story, I knew how to do it. So I go, I'm going to put up, no one will find it. All of a sudden, these men start writing me, Shelly, thank you for your story. Oh my gosh, thank you. You helped me stop viewing porn. I go, why are all these men writing me, thanking me for helping them stop viewing porn? And then I found out there's a porn addiction. I looked at God and I go, you raised up an ex-porn star in the middle of a porn addiction? This isn't going to be good. God's like, now you know why I allowed you, Moses, to be raised by the Egyptians for a little while, because you need to go back there and deliver my people. These are my people. I said, I'm not a deliverer. What are you talking about? So then I go to some prophetic church. And I did not believe in prophets and apostles. We weren't taught that at the Wisdom Church. So I went to the prophetic church by accident, and they had a prophet. They had a 24-year girl, really cute, just hot pants, just cute. God wants to be bold tonight. Some of you are singing like Thor thumbs. I'm like, who are you talking about? This is weird. This girl's like, this is demonic. I can't have that in my new champion life. The girl goes, some of you are really standing out to me. You right there, stand up. God has a word for you. And I go, I look around, and they point to me, all the ladies go, come on, get your word. Get my word. I have the word. What do you mean, get a word? I mean, God really blindsided me. So I stand up, I go, yeah. She goes, you're bold. God has made you so bold. In fact, you're going to be the kind of person who goes, ding, 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 in the middle of a restaurant. Everyone's going to get delivered. I go, oh. And I thought, I can't even go out for 6 months. It really frightened me because I could tell in my spirit was leaping. I'm like, why is it leaping? She goes, you have a Deborah's anointing. You're supposed to lead thousands of men into war against, she didn't say it was pornography, but you're supposed to lead thousands of men into war, and you're the church fire alarm. I'm like, church fire alarm? This girl's, I'm trying to back off. Then she goes, give me your hands. Bring them out like this. She's slapping them. All this crazy stuff. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just hit me, and I'm like, I knew something weird had happened. Deborah's anointing. Deborah, who's Deborah? Who's Deborah? I didn't know who Deborah was. I had just started Bible school. And so I walked out, and I was kind of weirded out, and Tiffany got a word to my daughter. And so we both kind of walked out like, and a little old lady goes, honey, the Holy Spirit says to tell you you're his warrior bride. I go, oh, thank you. Thank you very much. So I went home that night. It was all dark, and I was, I got touched by the glory of God. Something strange had happened to me. And so I sat down on the computer, and God knows, I'm always on Google. He has to talk to me, on the computer. And I go, if this is you, you have to prove it. He goes, I will prove it. Name it. And I said, all right. One web page, not a website, God. One web page, and it has to say Warrior Bride and Deborah's Anointing on the same page, and I'll believe it. I was like, he goes, type it in. So I put Google, those two terms. Boom. One web page, it says Anointed for War, and Deborah's Anointing is one of the anointings of the Warrior Bride, and I fell back in my seat, and I worshiped God on the floor, and I said, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. I don't even know what message do I have. But I don't know. He goes, you'll know. Sure enough, after I began to follow God and started coming, it turned out that there was millions of people who had a porn problem. And I'm like, don't they understand that they just porn the word of God? That it pushes out the lies. The word of God, if you meditate on day and night, you'll be successful and prosperous in all you do. There's all these principles I learned, like how to fail-proof your life. If you walk in love, you will fail-proof your life. Even if you make mistakes, my life is fail-proofed. I'll love the little old lady at the store. I know the value is, who cares if there's road rage? Who cares? Pray for the person. Love your enemies. I'm tested daily in loving my enemies. And I have vicious enemies. And they think I'm bizarre and I'm weird. I am now. They say, screw you. And I go, hey, you guys want to meet for coffee sometime? They're like, we're going to kill you. There's a mob hit on your life. I'm like, I know. Are you kidding? I'd love to go die and be with the Lord right now. It doesn't bother me whether I'm here or there. My parent, my kids might mind, but. So, I mean, I learned all these awesome ways that you can get healing and deliverance. And so when God began to send me into the prison ministry, really get my hands dirty. That is fun. Oh my gosh, I wish I could do that again. Right, I walked into a ministry where the ground had been sown for 13 years. So people were just getting filled with the Holy Spirit. You barely touch them. Oh my gosh, look at this. I was like, did it to myself. And my mentor goes, you already have it. I'm like, the way they got it was like really crazy. Demon-possessed people growling and everything. And I'm like, and the authority came over me in the name of Jesus. And I had this deliverance ministry. It was like powerful. I was like, brides of Satan were coming up to me. And I'm like, no problem. Like, you know, just because of what I'd been through, God could forgive me. And I had a gift of faith. He can deliver anybody, even on the spot. He does it many different ways. But, so it was this awesome ministry. It was like easy as pie. I just go in and people were getting healed all over the place. And then all of a sudden God says, now I want you to go back to the porn industry where no ground has been sowed. I said, no way. I've done a lot for you. He's like, do you remember that little promise you made me? I promise I'll serve you my whole life. I'm like, God takes promises just as serious as he keeps them with you. So I started going back to the porn industry, and I was like a really like fat mom with a mushroom haircut. Because I was happy and fat. I loved my life. 200 pounds. I walk in there with a little jean jacket, and I'm really quiet. I have my little anointing oil. With the name of Jesus. Come on. In the name of Jesus. Her. Use my prophetic gift. Her. Jesus. Oops. I'm fast. I caught it. And all of a sudden, these girls that I prayed for, they started getting out of the porn industry with not even talking to me. God was doing it. So I'm like, when I go in and pray, you deliver people. Well, then we got a team together, and we started going in, and we started reaching out. And then, then it started to get crazy. Next thing you know, I'm in the politics now. I'm literally testifying before Congress and California State Capitol, LA City Council, on and on. I'm going to Howard Stern. I'm going to MTV. I'm going to churches. I never know who I am. I can be any character. I have a lot of training. God uses all things together for good for those who love him. I'm a perfect example. He promised me for following him that not one ounce of my pain would be wasted. None of it. There's nothing. People won't come to me and go, oh, yeah, I had that. Oh, yeah, I had that too. Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, I got that. He's allowed me to feel and experience so much. And now literally he put me on a cross. After this 3 years of bliss, God actually called me to partake of his sufferings with him as part of, I needed to be that cross that people could, that I could introduce Christ to them and they can understand. Like, God allowed me, I was in such a high, that's how I can put it, I was on such a high, it was really hard for me to relate to people who are hurting. And so he allowed that to come back on me, and allowed some things. And honestly, I personally, I have a porn in the flesh. I have a messenger for Satan that buffets me, torments me often. I'm in spiritual warfare at my house. There was a season where it was so bad, it was so demonic, that literally I was tearing my bed sheets. I would have to replace them every 2 months. Doctors couldn't help me. All I could do is just put on Psalms. I repeated the entire book of Psalms back to God. If you do not know how to pray, David does. Use his prayers, Holy Spirit and David. Those are my two favorites. I mean, this, I know a lot about spiritual warfare. I have just, for the fact that I'm even standing here alive is a miracle, because the entire time Satan has given me anemia, staph infections, nightmare. I mean, just, it was, I just give up everything. With God, the Lord just says, Shelly, now you'll know my heart. When you partake of his fellowship, of his sufferings, it's something really sacred. Like, a lot of people put down suffering. And I'm not that, because I guarantee you, I'm truly who I am today, and I am truly a lover and compassionate because of my sufferings. Suffering is way more valuable to me than anything. because I can just feel God's heart for these people who are suffering, and it keeps me. Now, obviously, I'm fresh all the time. If I'm in pain, you know, I'm in pain. You know, God definitely sustains me. Sustained me through a vicious porn fight. People are doing death threats against my family. We had to move, and then I got stalkers. I have all kinds of enemies. And in case you're watching. And they are watching me all the time, every day. Every day, I'm the number one name that the porn industry talks about on a daily basis. Literally, like, I am the world's number one enemy against the porn industry. This little chickadee right here. And there's no manual. I'm a pioneer. I'm going to make lots of mistakes, God. I don't get messy. I'm a champion. Oh, I got messy right there. Oh, wait, I sin more over here. Oh, my gosh, I'm lusting. I'm lusting. Garrett, I'm lusting. Something's wrong with me. But you know what? It brought me and my husband even closer, even more intimacy. You know, now we're like a super team. If we weren't close before, we were really close now. And so our family's strong. I mean, God sustained us. You know, a lot of people think the signs and wonders is God's most powerful way that he shows himself. But personally, I feel his ability to sustain us in horrific conditions, in terrible trials, and bring us out of them, that makes his power most effectively known to me. It really teaches me to depend on God. I really have to. I don't have a choice. I don't get to choose if I trust God. I will be dead tomorrow. I already know. That. In fact, my whole house has turned into an altar. My fireplace, every Christian should have a fireplace altar. That's probably why it's there. And I put my candles. My candles are lit 24 hours. I have to go to the Catholic store just to buy those kind of candles. I'm part Catholic. I'm part Jewish. I'm part Christian. I'm a theology major. I can get away with that. So I'm like, we need candles. Michael, little archangels. I got two little Michaels right here. I'm like, Michael works here. This is my place right here. Holy Spirit. Everything, you know, music playing, keeping the house. You know, my other house, what's crazy is the house that God birthed this ministry. I let a lot of those people in my house, and all their demons lived with us for years. So take my advice. Think twice about letting all these people in your house constantly, because as soon as I moved to my new house, gone. I was like, oh, like I could breathe. I couldn't breathe. I was having panic attacks, severe panic attacks for 3 years doing this. Right before I would go debate, I would go, I would tell God, this isn't pretty. This is ugly. He's like, I'm humbling you. You're very talented, and you're not bad looking either. You might get arrogant on me. I'm like, oh, come on. No. He goes, you know you have a spirit of arrogance. And it's, you know, anybody, especially if they're being used, literally, our ministry is taking down the porn industry. We're very offensive. I mean, just right now, they had a vote 9-1 in Los Angeles voted, because what happened was, I tried to go after the moral angle, didn't work too much. California doesn't care. So I went, well, we can go after the sex trafficking. We can do that, but I got to get more victims to talk with me. But then God gave me an idea, why don't you go after the safety and health angle? So I went, yeah. Why is it that the hospitals have to follow these laws and the porn industry doesn't have to follow laws? And why do the hospitals get dinged for health violations, but the porn industry doesn't get dinged? So God began to teach me, and so sure enough, for 2 years, we were very vigorous, and we testified, you know, of all the extreme work conditions, which I can't repeat here. And they just voted on a Monday, 9-1, that the porn industry has to use condoms and has to follow safety laws, which we know they can never, ever do. And they are actually threatening to leave California, where it's been rooted all these years. So, literally, girls are just leaving. There's no more money. There's no more money. They have done what I call the quail effect. They put so much porn out there and stuffed it down our throats that now they're in competition with their own free porn. So we've got free porn over here, we've got safety and health over here, and God is literally shrinking this. And so on Monday, it was kind of cool. I got to debate Ron Jeremy on TV, and I've never been able to debate him. I've always wanted to, so I spanked him pretty good, but I love you. Ron knows I love him. But, you know, just you can just see it. In fact, what's cool is Nina Hartley, a very famous porn star, says, you know, the last 3 years, this industry's been coming down. I'm like, that's when I started my nonprofit. Yeah. Pink Cross Foundation, home of the ex-porn stars. And after we went in and started saving and rescuing girls, we probably almost got 100 now. and 25 of us are testifying publicly. No sex trafficking victims are that bold, but this is a bold ministry. And I tell these girls, we have nothing to fear. We need to go up there, tell them what is going on, the sex trafficking going on, that every aspect of this industry is illegal. We were forced to do things we didn't agree to. It's mainly 18, 19, 20-year-old girls on sets with much older males telling them what to do. This is not legal at all. And I truly believe I'm not going to give up. Personally, I'm not going to give up. And I want other people to join me, not give up. But it has to come down. That's it. I'm just not the type of person who gives up real easily. And I just feel, you know, tonight that God just, there's some of you here. I know there's people here who struggle with porn. And you know what? I'm here to tell you that nothing you've done at all could separate you or make you feel ashamed in front of God. He sees it all. And he actually gave me a vision of what that looked like. And I actually looked down and I saw all of his, a huge, massive men masturbating, watching porn for 2 minutes. And I was like, oh my gosh, Lord. And the Lord just says, this is Satan's biggest attack on my church because I'm coming soon. And Satan wants souls. He wants to pull you away from Jesus. He wants to tell you you're too dirty. You can't go in his presence. You can't do that. He's the accuser, literally night and day. I live with him all day long. He accuses me all day. I go, yeah, yeah, I don't care. I'm kind of a Martin Luther. I feel like I'm just going to sit at a pub one day and tell Satan, I just don't care anymore, okay? I just don't care how rotten, how horrible I am. If God wants to use someone like me, that's his business, you know? Because, you know, I thought I had arrived after I went to that church. I thought, you know, I'm a champion. I had arrived. Well, God actually had to humble me from bringing me up so high, back down, so I could actually work and be of service to nice folks. And so, you know, I just want you, you know, just hopefully you hear my story and realize, you know, I mean, I've been married now 18 years. Oh, yeah, and here's one of the best miracles. I want you to meet my daughter. This is my best miracle. This is Tiffany, and I kept my baby. Tiffany is half Asian, and she's absolutely gorgeous, and she's a little prophetess herself. She's on fire. She can preach. So, you know, I just want to show you, God can hear the prayers of a destitute prostitute who had nothing, and look what he did. He blessed us, and he lifted my family so high. Now my family, an ex-military family, is what God is using to take down the porn industry and to heal his church. So God can do anything.
What?
And she forgave me. She has her own testimony too. Maybe when I'm here, you guys can hear a little bit of it. But her chapter in my book is the most tear-jerking one. She was actually subjected to my porn at 4 years old, where she saw her mommy do porn. And Tiffany made her really sick. And she began to masturbate at 4 years old. And I was a horrible mother to her. I would give her a beeper and tell her, wait at the park, I'm turning tricks, you know. I was just, so Tiffany is the victim. A lot of these people don't understand. A lot of these women have children, and this is what they're subjected to. But, you know, and it took Tiffany years. When I recovered, she didn't recover. So we all assumed because I recovered that she recovered too. And what happened was when I started this ministry, she fell apart. And then God started working in her and working in her. I started this ministry 7 years ago. So now she's married. Now God's using her to speak. She's speaking at a men's breakfast next week. Who are we? We're nobody. Yet God can do this for us. He can do it for you. So I don't know if you want to have some worship or something, but and me and Tiffany and Carrie, we're all part of this ministry, and we would love to pray with you guys too. And there's nothing I haven't heard, so you're pretty safe with me.
Why don't we all stand, first of all? And Shelley, could we just ask you to pray a corporate prayer?
Sure.
You know, the presence of God is so here. It just she's reminding me of what Corrie Ten Boom said. One of her catchphrases was, there's no pit so deep that God is not deeper still.
Yes.
There's no pit so deep. There's nothing, you know, so horrible or what's happened in your life and that God is not deeper still. His forgiveness, his love, nothing can separate us from his love. So I really feel like he's here tonight to bring deliverance from pits.
Yeah.
From whatever that pit looks like for you, for us, you know, that pit of whatever it is, despair or discouragement or feeling like never going to get free from this. This is a testimony of the saving power. Oh, wow. The saving power of the Lord.
Whoa. And sustaining.
Yeah.
Now he's done both for me.
Oh, yeah. Jesus, Jesus.
That's good.
So if you could pray corporately, first of all, that would be wonderful.
Father, right now I just ask you, Lord, just to pour out your spirit. I know you're so welcome here, Lord. Your heart is so big that you would do anything. You would leave the 99 to go get that one. That's your heart. Father, you know the wounds they have. I know you want to touch them tonight, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that Holy Spirit, just come right now. Just we need you. You are the great deliverer, Lord. We're just vessels. I just speak the name of Yeshua over this place. The blood of Yeshua, HaMashiach, the Messiah, our Savior, our lover, the lover of our soul. You love us. He's not mad. He sees that you're sick and he wants to help. He knows that there's people in this place right now that are dealing with sexual brokenness. 70% of women are sexually abused as a child in this culture. And you need to get those healed, those wounds. I can just see him taking his finger and he wants to go in there. And you think it's going to hurt, and it might feel like it at first, but then you're going to be set free from all that unforgiveness and all that bitterness. And Lord, just I pray that those who are struggling with pornography, Lord, that they would get real honest tonight. That you want to set them free. That porn cannot be an idol. You can't serve porn and God. You're here to rescue them, to heal them, to heal marriages, Lord. So many marriages, they need the Holy Spirit. You need intimacy, Lord. Speak intimacy. In Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, you know their needs, Lord. You just touch them the way you want to touch them, Lord. I just right now speak deliverance over this place in the name of Yeshua. I come against Satan and every lie from the pit of hell, and I tell you to be gone now. I take the authority of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, and I bind you and I rebuke you and I command you to leave. Every demon in this place has to be gone. All the lies of the devil have to be gone. They cannot be here. They cannot stand in his presence. I speak healing and deliverance now in the name of Yeshua, the most high. Yahweh, pour out your spirit, Lord. Heal them all the way. I bind and rebuke every demon, every lying demon. Be gone now. Every unclean spirit, be gone now in the name of Yeshua. Be gone. I plead the blood of Yeshua over this whole place. Every lie of the devil has to go. Bitterness has to go now in the name of Yeshua. Has to go. Forgiveness, Father, pour out your love and forgiveness so they can forgive, Lord. Wounds, Lord, heal them. I just see him putting his hand on your heart. Just heal them, Lord. Lord, if there's anyone seriously struggling, Lord, you know, when you guys are ready, you can come up to the front. He's going to deliver you tonight. That's what he promised me. Wherever I go, if I will do this for him, he will deliver you. So he has to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
And so I would urge you, you know, for those of you, and I believe there's many of you that...